help you, but it doesn't help as much as you'd think. It's not a linear relationship. So that works for us quite well.
Well, that's fascinating, but we don't want to get too far off the subject here of this conference, because it sounds like, now, you're expecting a couple hundred people, or it sounds like you got a crowd.
Totally, yeah. No, we have been warned that a lot of people show up last minute, and we are prepared for that. You know, as far as catering and everything else, we're prepared to support last-minute show-ups, no problem. So other conferences that have been run like this have had several hundred people attend, indeed.
So you mentioned a number of these groups are supportive of different efforts trying to get on the air, like Austin Airwaves and this, that, and the other. Tell me how, and you've been involved in that, how do you all really help people get... I know a lot of low powers got licensed, and some of them are still trying to get up and running.
Yeah, well, what happened was, just to talk about LPFM, because that's the wave we're talking about, a few years ago, the feds, FCC, Uncle Charlie, as we call them, realized that there were spaces.
Problem, but you know what that's like too, Bob. So
that's correct.
First, tell us what the Grassroots Radio Conference or Coalition is all about, because this is a big thing.
Sure, it's an annual radio conference designed to teach people how to start and operate a community radio station, and it's hosted by a different community radio station every year, but it's organized by the Grassroots Radio Coalition, and a coalition is it's a national group of radio activists, peace and justice activists, and a group of movers and shakers, and it has no bylaws, no dues, no hierarchy. It's sort of an amorphous cadre of motivated community radio people, and they're dedicated to the idea that volunteer-run community radio stations are like a corner of participatory democracy. It's necessary, you know, to make a democracy function. So that's basically what it is. And this year, KUHS here, the solar-powered station, community station in Hot Springs, is sponsoring this conference.
So I'm going to ask you more about your station, but now, how many years have they been going? This is not a brand new thing, I don't think.
Oh, not at all. The GRC was born back in 1996, and 1996 was a precipitous year because the rules regarding consolidation of station ownership changed at that point. And so basically what happened was, before that, you couldn't own all the newspapers and stations in a given broadcast area or demographic area, but after that you could. And what happened was, a very small group of companies bought out and consolidated the vast majority of stations in the United States, and that led us into a situation where they're all sort of pumping out the same stuff. You drive city to city, and you hear the same stuff coming through a satellite from somewhere else, instead of actual information about the people in the community where the radio station is. So that's sort of one of the big motivators in this.
Well, Clear Channel, iHeart, you know,
absolutely,
there's one after another. Everybody knows what you're talking about there.
Right.
So, given the structure you described with the Grassroots Radio Coalition, I guess it's a miracle they have a meeting at all every year, but 20 years, that's a good record. Now, how did y'all lure them into Hot Springs, Bob?
Well, last year it was in Palinville, New York, upstate New York, very, very quaint area, and we were talking to them then. We had just come on the air with KUHS 97.9 here in Hot Springs, and they were very interested in having us come up, but we were just launching the station. We couldn't attend, and then we just, Zach Smith, the GM, and I looked at each other and said, let's sponsor this next year here in Hot Springs. What a better place to do this. So we worked on it for the several months up until now, and working with the coalition itself. And this thing has exploded. We have over 30 presenters. We've got three locations going at once, three different lecture halls, completely catered. We have evening events. We have all kind of stuff planned, but the scope and breadth of the topics covered is just amazing, and the luminaries coming to show up, it just fell together so well.
So you're looking for a crowd, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, and, you know, our goal is to get people to build community radio stations, so by hook or crook, you know, take a look at our website at GRC2016.net, and see if there's a topic you're interested in. It could be fundraising, it could be management, it could be FCC law, it could be how to build a station from scratch on the cheap, all kind of topics covered, and stuff that even, you know, like I said, fundraising in general, you might want to know how to do that. So
it's not too late for people to get the spirit and say, hey, you know, I didn't know this was happening.
No.
I can get down to Hot Springs. So it starts formally, I guess there's a registration tonight, but then the formal meetings start tomorrow. And how long do they go?
Yeah, well, we're going all the way through midday Monday. So registration is tonight at the Springs Hotel on Central Avenue after 5 o'clock. We're going to feed everybody. We're catering the whole affair, lunch and breakfast for the whole thing, all of the days. And tonight we'll have a keynote speaker, Jim Ellinger of Austin Airwaves. He's a global community radio station builder. He's a very colorful, interesting guy. And he'll kick it off after we do the meet and greet and schmooze and stuff tonight. So at that point, you know, if you see stuff you like and you want to come down the last minute, come down. We have some scholarships available. So we will work with you, whatever your restraints are. Don't not come because you don't have money.
Well, and we're going to give people the information for how they can get a hold of y'all. But you mentioned that you've got an all-star cast coming in. So let's jump right into that. So give me a sense of I know some of the people coming. Bob Dunn, who is one of my heroes down in New Orleans, has helped us getting as we move forward to get WAMF, our little 100-watt station, low power on down there here in the next couple of months. I notice he's driving up, and Ursula Rutenberg. I know a whole lot of people. So give us some of the stars you've gotten, the sense of the variety of the workshops you're offering.
Okay. Well, basically, I did mention Jim Ellinger. He's going to kick us off from Austin Airways, which I'm an important member of. And we've got Donna DiBianco. She's known as the goddess of community radio. And there's any place that there's LPFM or community radio happening, she's going to be showing up. So we're going to be bringing her in. Of course, you mentioned Ursula Rutenberg of Pacifica Radio, the amazing Pacifica Radio, WBAI, where I worked in New York before I came down to Austin. Sharon Scott of KXOX is coming in. Michael Brown of the amazing Brown Engineering. If you want to put on a station, you contact Michael, because all that horrible paperwork and contour analyzing, all that stuff, you want Michael to do that. And of course, you mentioned Bob Dunn from Delgado College down there in New Orleans is coming in, and he's covering a really interesting topic, which is how to do live remotes over the internet, because used to be you had to have a multi-thousand dollar microwave remote and all this kind of stuff. Now we can make stuff with Raspberry Pis and Arduinos that can shoot live radio in. So he's going to be covering that kind of topic. We've got Bob Simmons coming in. We can talk about the Communications Act of 1996 and its effect on things. Betty McArdle is coming in. She's from the Community Media Assistance Project, CMAP, and she and her husband are prime movers in the LPFM situation and putting on community radio stations. Ann Garrison is coming in from Bremerton, Washington. My gosh, like I said, we have 30 people coming in, and this coalesced so rapidly that I realized anybody lucky enough to find out about this conference and come down here is going to experience a weekend they'll never forget.
Well, I know I'm driving down a couple of people, and we're coming in for the meet and greet just to help you guys welcome everybody. I wish I was going to be able to stay the next couple of days myself, but I'm committed to have to be in Juneau, Alaska. But I'm going to look on the highway as we drive down in case we have to throw some people in a trunk and in the back seat or whatever and give some people a ride down there. This sounds like it's going to be exciting. Now,
it's going to be. Yeah.
Solar power. I think you said that Hot Springs, and I noticed there's a workshop on solar power too. Are you able to really get up and rolling on solar power?
Absolutely. I am the presenter since I'm the chief engineer.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm propping you. Okay, go, Bob.
You are. But I'm an apostle of solar power, that amazing thing, the shiny purple things on your roof, which give you freedom and energy independence. So, indeed, when we came up with the idea of putting KUHS on, we're up on the big mountain downtown. I thought, there isn't any power right at that point. And I thought, heck, we're low power. Let's go solar, of course. Anything I can power with solar. I drive a solar car. I live in a solar house. I'm talking on solar energy here. And so we looked at the site and said, heck, we can put 2,500 watts of panels up there, no problem. So we've got tons of power. We run the station on 8 forklift batteries and about, 12 or 15, 14 big German solar panels up there. So I'm going to teach a course and teach people in an hour and a half how to unplug themselves, period. So you want to know how to do a solar system from you know nothing to you're an expert. And the way I'll ensure this is that I'm going to give my course. I have some one whole semester course on DVD. Everybody that attends is going to receive that free. So it doesn't matter if you suck it all up during the lecture. You can go home and watch the videos. And by the time you're done with those, you'll be the person everybody asks, yeah, I've got a question about solar energy. energy. So you can you will be able to build a system after you watch me do my course.
So what'd you say, you're 2 or 3 watts?
Yeah, we're licensed at 2 watts, but we're also up at 800 feet. The hot springs is only, 90% of the people in hot springs live in a 5-mile circle, so we're line of sight from the entire downtown area.
So you can cover the city with 2 watts.
Absolutely. And of course, FM has what they call a capture effect. There's no in-between. Either you're hearing a signal or you don't. So once you've captured the receiver, you sound the same as a 100,000-watt station.
Well, I can tell you the electric bill on a 100-watt station will, break your back. So
we know that.
We'd have to own most of the mountain, I think, to be able to power it by solar.
It's a logarithmic effect. In other words, you have to multiply your power by 10 just to improve it slightly. So in the opposite direction, as you lower the power of a station, I know run a lot of stations. Say we have a problem, and I lower the station down from 10,000 to 100 watts. Nobody calls up and says they can't hear it. So, going way up in power does help you, but it doesn't help as much as you'd think. It's not a linear relationship. So that works for us quite well.
Fascinating, but we don't want to get too far off the subject here of this conference, because it sounds like, now, you're expecting a couple hundred people, or it sounds like you got a crowd.
Totally, yeah. We have been warned that a lot of people show up last minute, and we are prepared for that. As far as catering and everything else, we're prepared to support last-minute show-ups, no problem. So other conferences that have been run like this have had several hundred people attend, indeed.
So you mentioned a number of these groups are supportive of different efforts trying to get on the air, like Austin Airwaves and this, that, and the other. Tell me how, and you've been involved in that, how do you all really help people get... I know a lot of low powers got licensed, and some of them are still trying to get up and running.
Yeah, well, what happened was, just to talk about LPFM, because that's the wave we're talking about. A few years ago, the feds, FCC, Uncle Charlie, as we call them, realized that there were spaces in between a lot of these stations that you could put a small, low-power community station in that little in-between space, and it's not going to cause any trouble to anybody. Because, the receivers get better over time, and so they opened up what we call a window to license low-power FM stations several years back, and a lot of people applied. This is what was licensed at 100 watts at 100 feet. That's what they were expecting it out as. And then a lot of people were able to put on low-power stations. That was, a lot of religious groups, political groups, community groups. And what happens, though, is that a lot of the people who get construction permits, when you're okay for a station, you get your CP, your construction permit, a lot of people don't follow through. And so a lot of those stations never happen. And so a second window was opened up 3 or so years ago, and we and a lot of other people, thousands of people applied, and a lot of people got permits to construct stations. And again, a lot of those people are not going to be able to follow through for financial reasons or support reasons. And I would not be totally amazed if another window opens up at some time. And as well, other people in this group are working on proposing that the power limit be increased substantially so that we can do a better job in coverage. So this movement is still in process, and a lot of people still have the possibility of putting on their LPFM stations from the second wave of filings. So there's still people out there building stations.
Well, and I know they're definitely getting extensions, and clearly we need to... This is a great conference to put out the word that if people are having trouble, there may be a way to save that license. I know 30-odd years ago, the way we ended up building a station in Tampa and Dallas, both of those areas, big non-commercials, was people were running out of time on their CP and we're going to lose it all, and ended up saying, hey, it's better to have it and turn it over and let somebody try to make it happen. So that could happen too. We're talking to Bob Nagy in Hot Springs about the Grassroots Radio Coalition is putting on its 20th annual conference of people who, big and little, know a lot about or want to know a lot about how to operate non-commercial radio in most effective ways. Bob's going to do a workshop on solar power. We've gotten into that, but give us a sense of some of these. Austin Airwaves, you said you were involved with them. What do they do?
Yeah. Well, it is an organization to build and promote just this kind of broadcasting, and it's a group of, I'm on the board of it. I used to be in Austin, built KOOP radio there, the big community station in Austin, and co-op is one of the big bricks in the wall for Austin Airwaves, but Austin Airwaves looks to promote these stations wherever they can be built and support people who are doing this. So Austin Airwaves, being I'm part of that, was supportive during the KUHS building and supports other people who wants to put on stations. So Jim Mellinger is the group leader there, and he's a global community radio builder, I think, over 15 countries he's built stations in. He's our keynote speaker tonight and very entertaining fellow. So he'll have a big slideshow of that, but it's an organization just to promote exactly what I've been talking about. So a lot of these people in the core groups of Grassroots Radio Coalition, everything, Austin Airwaves, know each other, and it's a sort of, like I said, an amorphous cadre of activists that try to promote community radio. And I have to say, the reason for this is that FM radio and commercial radio is dying, like the newspaper, you know, and we feel that the survival of radio is through going back to the roots and lowering overhead and getting information about those communities into those areas. Even the feds are worried about this, because if there's a hurricane coming in, you're not going to get it on the local radio station pumping a satellite downlink. You tune around, there's nothing, no information. Where are the roads closed? What's going on out there? You need to flip on that, you know, $2 radio you got and find out what's going on. So we're there 24/7 with solar power and promote this kind of thing, so community radio stations can provide this kind of direct, interactive information flow, which is what we feel is the only way to have radio survive.
And it's an interesting problem. I was struck about 3 years ago. I was interviewing people to do some work at KBF, and if you were younger than 35, you didn't even own a $2 radio, maybe one in your car.
That's right.
You listened to radio on your phone. If you were over 35 or 40, maybe you were still somebody who had a radio somewhere around the house, mm-hmm. if you could remember where it was. But that's a problem if all of a sudden everybody is listening to the radio on the internet and cell phone. I mean, I lived through Hurricane Katrina. If cell phones go down and the towers aren't working and there's no juice, you got a problem finding out what's going on.
That's absolutely correct. And there are still, you know, a lot of areas where more people have FM radios than a broadband connection, you know, because it costs some money in a lot of poorer areas.
But absolutely.
It's a more immediate medium. I know that if there's an immediate local emergency, I don't have a way to find that on the internet. There's no local port for me, for people to be discussing. For us, we're, you know, linked in with the amateur radio operators, the storm spotters and stuff like that. So we're constantly having information, an immediate information flow from people running around giving information, and we pump that right out to you. So it is still really a hot item when it comes to that kind of thing. Internet's not set up for that kind of thing. It just isn't. And all of those systems are going through cell towers and broadband connections and the Ethernet, and are absolutely can go down. So, you know, with our solar-powered situation, we're going to be there all the time.
Well, that's good for Hot Springs. We just need to see how it can spread. Now, when you talk about the support some of these groups are able to give low power and other stations mm-hmm. trying to get organized and to stay organized, yeah. I assume a lot of that's advice and engineering and tips.
Absolutely.
But, you know, as all of us know, and I know, you know, KBF 32 years in, money is always an issue, isn't it?
It is. But, you know, there are new avenues to do this.
Well, talk to people about those.
Well, the first thing to do is, and, you know, you learn this after building a lot of these stations, is get your overhead down, because there's a couple of failure modes, and one of them is too high monthly costs, whatever those costs are. So however you can shave those down, whether it's the transmitter electricity like we do or whatever, you have to cut that to a minimum, and then you have to raise money in novel ways. But luckily, there are new ways to do this. So first off, of course, we held our, you know, wine tastings, beer bashes, and that kind of stuff. And then, of course, most of the people volunteering to be DJs are millennials, and they're like, well, of course you're going to do a Kickstarter campaign. And I said, well, who's going to give any money to a little FM station in some other state and town? And they said, oh, no, they will. And bam, it filled up right away. So there was another, you know, $10,000. It was just amazing. So there are all kind of ways to raise funds, especially when you don't need that much to put on a station. And also the technical support also helps in the same area. And that is that all the stuff that used to cost a lot of money, your studio transmitter link, where you send the audio, nice stereo audio up to the mountain to the transmitter, well, it's a $10,000 item, microwave link. Well, we don't use that anymore. We use a high-powered Brazilian Wi-Fi dish that's $120. cars and can shoot 200 megabits of data up to the top of the hill on Wi-Fi, and we put our voice over TCP, over the internet, right up there on our own private link for almost nothing. So these kind of cost-lowering devices really help. Plus, we do a lot of stuff with Arduinos, Raspberry Pis, little, you know, $15 and $20 handheld computer boards to automate the station, to provide voice feedback and telemetry from our transmitter, all custom-made by yours truly. And so we have a lot of stuff that would cost a whole bunch to build, and we provide the know-how how to do that. And at this conference, we're going to give away the software that we use, that we've created, the card images for your Raspberry Pis and Arduinos and such, so that you can create these same device. You can stream from a $40 Raspberry Pi instead of having to use a you know, $500 or $1,000 PC. So you can just have a handheld device for $40 that streams your station. So we're going to make these cost cutters available, and that's how we support bringing the overhead down and making stations possible at a much reduced cost.
We're talking to Bob Nagy, and as anybody who's been listening can tell, this is somebody who knows his radio from the inside out, it sounds like. Now, there's a big conference in Hot Springs. Mm-hmm. The Grassroots Radio Coalition is putting it on. Bob, what do you all estimate you can run a station on year to year?
Well, I would say $8,000.
Okay, so that's a all-volunteer army.
That's an all-volunteer. We have over 65 DJs at KUHS. We're 24/7.
Yeah, no, I know we've got 100 or so. So
can't even get a slot.
Well, so, you know, you have to be in line, and if you've got a good show and you got underwriting, well, you know, there's always going to be somebody who opens up, work changes, schedules. Or
yeah.
Believe
yeah.
me, if you've got something that is interesting and people listen to, we can always make room for it if you've got support. But
absolutely. And, you know, you bring the DJs in, you train them, you get them on the air, and, you know, if they make some mistakes initially, that's okay. We don't I hear dead air for a minute, I'm not going to go crazy. I just know that they're learning, and, you know, but keeping that overhead low is so important, because, you know, who wants to listen to asking for money on the air? If you can keep that to a minimum, that's a good thing. And so I told them, you know, if you ask for money on the air, tell them we're out of incense, you know, because truthfully, we keep that overhead down and try to create stations that have very low overhead, then it just gives a lot more freedom. And it is, in fact, virtually threatening to the existing commercial stations, because they'd have no freedom. You know, you're looking at, through this consolidation, you're looking at usually, say, a four-pack of stations, three FMs and an AM, and the FMs don't sustain themselves. They can't make enough money, and the AM, with the 25 shock jocks package, you know, what I call hate radio, is paying the whole bill. And so they have no local coverage. They don't have any freedom to even do any local coverage. So you come in with a low-cost community station, bam, you're totally free, like you guys are, like we are.
Well, I mean, no, it costs us a lot more than $8,000 a year
to
run.
Does, but you're a big flamethrower, not a little peanut whistle, as we are.
Well, I like that language. You know, I'd like to see a bumper sticker for KBF about, you know, how we're a people's flamethrower, but that's probably just me, so I'll just keep that on Wage World. And, you know, there's some of these ideas you just have to learn to live with. But so even at not at 8,000, you can probably run it at, what, 30 or 40 for most of these low powers?
Well, that's if you're paying for a lot of stuff. I can't even imagine what you'd spend that much money on once, you know, you get set up with a low overhead.
Well, Bob, you're definitely, you know, going to be a beacon of information and light for a lot of low powers who are wondering, you know, A, if they can't get the money to put it on, how in the world will they keep it going? But this sounds like a conference people want to go to. So we're talking about Hot Springs. I think you said it was going to give the details again on exactly where you go and register and where these programs are going to happen in the great city of Hot Springs.
Absolutely. Well, registration is tonight, Friday at 5 o'clock and on at the Springs Hotel on Central Avenue, just past the Arlington on the right. And just come on down. We're catering it, and we're going to have a good old time, meet and greet, and we'll have our keynote speaker, Jim Ellinger, down there. So we'll have a really fun talk afterwards. And at that point, you can network with all these amazing movers and shakers from the community radio world. And then it's going to continue on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at three different locations: Maxwell Blades Theater of Magic, the Low-Key Arts Building, which is where Valley of the Vapors Music Festival happens, and right off Central on Arbor. So these are all within about 300 feet of each other, a few hundred feet, you know, less than 30 seconds walking between them, three simultaneous locations. The Springs, of course, being the anchor of it. And like I said, we'll be catering breakfast and lunch, both locations. Actually, that'll all happen at the Springs. And for the first 2 days on Saturday and Sunday, we'll have several lectures. We really tried to cram in a lot of stuff over the weekend for people who can't be around Monday. So we concentrated it on the weekend, all the really meaty stuff, including how to build a station, how to do the solar stuff, all the FCC law and such, roundtables, and lots of just time to, you know, talk to people one-on-one. So we have such a high ratio of lectures and presenters that you'll have a lot of availability to have FaceTime with these people and ask them specific questions. How do I get this going? And also, for those who attend and can't be around Monday or can't, you know, you can't attend all lectures. We have three simultaneously. We are recording the entire thing and we'll present it on YouTube for attendees to watch later for those who have registered. So we're going up into midday on Monday and cutting it off then. And we're also having the huge barbecue blowout with Clyde Clifford on Saturday night at the VOV Low-Key Arts Building at 7 p.m. So Clyde Clifford, I mean, I'm to say a little bit about him. He's coming in from Little Rock. He was the man who on KAY back in the 60s, he was an engineer, in fact, and he would go overnight and he started to display whole albums and play strange space sounds on the radio, and it gave birth to the entire progressive radio movement, which came on strong with the advent of FM radio through the 70s, and that whole album rock thing was started on KAY in Little Rock, which was a clear channel station, although they didn't call it that in those days, 50 KW, and it reached from, you know, Cuba to Canada. In fact, some of the vets said they could hear it in Vietnam on occasion. And so this guy was basically the voice of album rock from, you know, from the Midwest to the whole North America. And he's showing up to give a talk on after our barbecue party over there at the Low-Key Arts Building on 118 Arbor. So even if you just want to come down for that, you radio heads, you know, you want to schmooze and meet all these people and talk to all these luminaries and have some great barbecue and hopefully some craft beer and then listen to Clyde Clifford, come on down. It is $10, but that's just to cover the barbecue, and we're just going to have a big old time. And as well, we're going to have a hike up the mountain to our transmitter site on Sunday night up to see the solar array and provide refreshments and all that. So we've got activities planned as well.
Now, but you're not actually remote broadcasting this conference, huh?
We are not remote broadcasting the conference. It really didn't come up. And
well, you know, Bob should have come up early then if he had a workshop on remote broadcasting.
Yeah,
I know
we can do it on an internet
connection and an iPad, so it's crazy.
Yeah, we've reduced Raspberry Pi now. You can just get out of Raspberry Pi, but $40. So, yeah, our live remotes just covered the festival down here, Hot Water Hills Music Festival Live. That was our remote, so it all went swimmingly.
Well, fantastic. So, look, I'm going to tell them one more time. This is a Grassroots Radio Coalition. They're having a conference this weekend and on into Monday down in Hot Springs. You can get a hold of Bob. How, Bob?
Well, you know, you can just call me directly. I'm going to give my phone number.
What the heck? Let's go old school. Get on the blower.
I trust our listeners, and we want this. We want to teach people how to put on community stations. Our area code, 501-538-0201. Just catch myself. Just call me anytime, and we will make sure you can come down. Like I said, don't not come because you don't have any money or anything like that. We're going to make sure you learn all you need to learn, and that's our goal here, to get to put on community radio.
Well, fantastic, and I know I'm going to bring John Kane, and I'm going to bring Tony Orr, the chairman of our board, down, and I'm going to come down so we can meet and greet. We'll leave a couple of brochures and bumper stickers. And,
absolutely.
You know, I'll get to shake your hand and thank you for giving all this information on the show. And you can,
my pleasure.
You know, I wish the great Lorenzo Milam was still close by. You know, that we were a progeny of Lorenzo's. I never would have gotten into this crazy stuff without him dragging me. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams usually sings, things you've never seen will never forget. We say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. This is Wade Rathke with Wade's World. Next week, we'll be talking with some people from the Ivory Coast about what it's like to organize plantation workers fighting Bolloré, the giant multinational which is grabbing their land and not fulfilling promises to them. This has been Wade's World on KBF, www.kbf.org. Bye.